Hey, Grace Church, how are you doing today? We are so delighted that you're joining us, and we just want you to know that here at Grace Church, we believe that Jesus is the hope of the world. That is what we believe. We believe that He died for our sins, and that without Him, there is no hope. And so whatever circumstance you're in, wherever you find yourself, whatever plight you're in today, we just want you to know that Jesus Christ is indeed risen from the dead, and He is your hope. He is your only hope. So with that in mind, let's just stop and pray, and we're going to jump into our series in Philippians this morning. So excited about what we have today. So let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for just the truth that we're going to look at today. And my prayer, God, is that you would take my words, God, and use them for your honor and for your glory. I pray, God, that for those watching today, that, Father, this would absolutely be relevant for whatever's going through their life. And I pray, God, dear Lord, that you would give me the words to say, that you would anoint those words. And God, I pray that in every way that you would be glorified and honored. And I pray these things in Jesus' holy and powerful and awesome name. Amen. All right, here we go. The book of Philippians. We're in chapter number 2 today. And if you have a device sitting by nearby or a Bible, you're welcome to follow along. So we're going to start in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And what we're going to look at today is two concepts side by side. The idea of joy in our life, that's the whole theme of the book of Philippians, is how do you and I can have joy in the midst of our crisis, in the midst of our circumstances, in our good times and our bad times. And then the other thing that we're going to put side by side with that is the idea of vision and view, the idea of being able to see things the way God sees them and not necessarily the way we see them. So Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, it says, do everything, notice the word everything, that means in Greek exactly that, everything. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So I know nobody needs to hear this today, but I'm going to preach it anyway. We're going to talk about the idea of complaining and how complaining robs us of joy. And I know that probably you haven't complained about anything during this isolation period, that you've probably been just full of joy and thanksgiving in your heart. But for those of us that haven't, so this is what we're going to talk about today, is the idea of complaining. Because I believe with all of my heart that complaining is the very factor, a very important factor, of robbing us of the joy that God has in our lives. So for whatever reason, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, this is kind of human nature, for whatever reason, we drift to be negative people. Some of you even have negative blood. I'm just saying that. I'm just throwing that out. We tend to focus on what is negative and not what is on the positive. We move, I don't know about you, but oftentimes I move to the worst case scenario. And that's just kind of human nature. We are conditioned by the media to do this. It's the bad news that makes the headlines, not the good news. And so that's something for us to understand. But here's the thing that I want you to hear today. Complaining is a habit, and habits can be broken. Let me say that to you one more time, because that is so important for you to hear. Complaining is a habit that you and I develop in our life, and habits can be broken. There are at least four kinds of complainers, and maybe you can find yourself in one of these types of complainers. First of all, there's the whiner. I don't know if you're a whiner, but this is what a whiner says all the time. It's not fair. That's the favorite phrase of the whiner. King David of Israel fell into this category. In Psalm 73, verse 13, this is what David says. He says, did I keep my heart pure from you for nothing? He's complaining to God. Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. And so David here, the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, finds himself whining to God, and I'm sure that that didn't go well for him. The second kind of complainer is that of a martyr. The martyr is the person who says, no one appreciates me. Absolutely no one appreciates me. This was Moses in the Bible. You remember when he took all the people of Israel out into the desert and he cries out to God and he says, why did you give me these people? I mean, come on, God, what was up with that? Then there's the cynic. And Solomon fits in this category. And Solomon says in his writings, that which will be, will be. I mean, he's the guy that says, you know, I can't control anything, so everything's going to go bad, so I might as well just let it happen. And then there's the perfectionist. Nothing is ever good enough. That's probably your mom that you were raised with. I don't know. But the reality is the perfectionists are among us, and perfectionists say nothing that I do is good enough, and nothing anybody else does is good enough as well. So here's something I think we all can agree upon. I hope you can agree upon this today, that complaining solves nothing. Do you agree with that? Come on now, complaining solves nothing. There's not been one problem in the history of the world that has ever been solved because you whined about it or complained about it. That's just not true. So what I want to spend the majority of our time together to do today is I want to talk about what fixes it. If I've got an issue of complaining in my life, what fixes it? I think there are five disciplines in the Christian life that are essential for you and I to know and understand if you and I are going to really deal with the idea of complaining. First of all, the first discipline that I see in Scripture is that I have to admit that I have a problem. So I want you to look to the person to the right and to the left of you, and maybe you're just home alone, just look at the mirror, I guess, at this point in time. And what I want you to do is I just want you to admit, I might be a complainer. Just say that just quickly to the person sitting next to you. Complaining is not just a bad habit, however. Listen to this carefully and don't miss this. Complaining is not just a bad habit, it is a sin. And it is a heinous sin in the sight of God. It's not just a kind of run-of-the-mill sin, it is a bad sin. And we're going to get to that in just a few minutes, but I just want to just take a moment and kind of dig a little deeper in this idea of complaining. Hollywood loves to post lists of stars. You all get that? There are all sorts of top 10 lists, most beautiful, most ripped physiques, top box office draws. And one list which is indicative of both a star's fame and infamy is the top 10 divas. And people like Mariah Carey, Jennifer Lopez, Celine Dion, or whatever her name is, have frequented this list, not because they have shone brightly, but because they are divas in the dressing room. The truth is they want more roses, less lighting, bigger bathtubs, more expensive bottled water, on and on the list goes. And so the question is are you and I divas in God's kingdom? Are we just people that are complaining and it's never good enough? Complaining was a sin that kept Israel from entering the promised land. So here's my question to you, and this is a very important question. What is complaining keeping you from? Whoa. Did he say that out loud? Here's what I want you to hear me. Lean into the screen here for just a moment, because this is a very important moment between you and God. I'm telling you that every time you complain, it's keeping you from something great inside of your life. It kept Israel from the promised land, and it's probably keeping you from doing things that are great in his kingdom. The second discipline I believe that is absolutely essential in the Christian life is that not only do I need to have the discipline in my life of admitting that I have a problem, but I also need to accept responsibility for that problem. It's one thing to say, yeah, I know, I get it, I've got a problem, but I also need to take the next step, which is accepting responsibility. What keeps you from dealing with your problems is several things, and one of the most important things, I think, is blame. So there are three types of people in the world. There's the accusers. It's not the excusers. It's not my fault. It's just not my fault. Then there's the accusers. It's your fault. It's not only not my fault, it's your fault. And then there's the choosers, and those are the people that accept responsibility for whatever's going on in their life. There's a man who was frustrated with his wife, and she wasn't hearing very, very well. So he called the doctor and explained the circumstances, and the doctor made an appointment for him to come in, and he said, in the meantime, you can do this test to see whether or not your wife really has a hearing problem. So he said, this is what you should do. You should take about 40 feet distance, and you should just start a casual conversation, normal tone, and you could just ask her some questions and see if she responds to you. And if she doesn't respond at that level, then take a step forward. And at that level, then what you do is that you do the same thing, and if she doesn't hear you then, and you take another 10 steps forward until you're right next to her. And so he got off the phone with the doctor, and so he thought that he would practice that. So he basically said to his wife, you know, just in a casual conversation, he said, so what's for dinner? And no response whatsoever. So he's concerned. So he takes about 10 steps forward, and he says, honey, what's for dinner? And again, no response, whatever. Takes another 10 steps forward, says, what's for dinner? And no response. And finally, he's right up on her, and he says one more time, honey, what's for dinner? And she says, for the fifth time, Harry, it's chicken. Now, just think about that. Oftentimes, you and I are blaming somebody else for the issues that we really have going on in our own life. The third discipline in the Christian life is the idea of developing an attitude of gratitude. I want to show you a scripture that I think is really important. It's not on the screen, but I want you to listen to it. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks. That's the attitude of gratitude. But I want you to notice something here. It does not say, for everything give thanks. It says, in everything give thanks. You may be, over this last few weeks, you've lost a job. Many of you have. And so that's a very sad thing. And I don't think God is asking you to get down on your knees and say, Lord, thank you for me losing this job. I don't think that's what that verse is saying. I think the issue here is that you should thank God in the middle of your circumstances. Find something in the middle of your crisis that you can thank God for. In everything, I think the application here is, in every circumstance in your life, whatever it is, the good and the bad, in every circumstance in your life, find a way to get down on your knees and find something that you can thank God for. There's always something. If you're looking for it, there's always something. As easy as it is to complain, as you begin to develop the attitude of gratitude, when you discipline yourself to do it, oftentimes you find it's very easy to find things that you can honor God in and thank God for. So God gives us a command here. God is telling us to stop complaining. Paul wrote this command, by the way, as he was chained to a Roman guard. Just remember that. In every one of your circumstances, God says there's no room for complaining. The fourth discipline, I think, that is just as imperative as the last three is look for God's hand inside of your circumstances. Look for God's hand inside of your circumstances. You have to have a vision and a view. So here's what I want you to see. Two men look out prison bars. They're in prison. They look outside the bars. One sees mud and the other sees stars. Who has the greater vision? See, what you see in your circumstances determines how you live. Everything in life depends on the frame of reference of how I see myself, how I see God, and how I see others. What we see is what we get. It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy when you begin to think about your frame of reference. When you begin to think about that frame of reference, what you see is what you get. You begin to live out a life that is void of God's presence when you don't see God's presence inside of your life. What we see determines our joy in every circumstance, including the one find ourselves in right now. Every circumstance that you find ourselves in determines how we respond, determines our joy, how I see it, what I'm looking for, how I see God moving. So the question then, how are you looking for God in the midst of your circumstances? If you want to find joy inside of your life, what you've got to learn to do is you've got to learn to have the discipline of seeking God, seeing God in the right perspective. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. All of our problems are at best temporary. That's the bottom line. All of our problems today, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're experiencing, all of our problems are at best temporary. So our responsibility is to fix our attention on God. If I want to have joy in my life, if I want to stop complaining, then I have to fix my attention on God. And the reason we're told over and over again in Scripture not to complain is because the very essence of complaining is indeed rebellion towards God. Now think about that. When you are complaining, you're doing three things. Number one, you're questioning God's wisdom. God, if I were you, I would be doing something different. You're questioning God's wisdom. When you are complaining, you're doubting God's care inside of your life. I don't think you love me, God. Why would you be doing these things? And when you're complaining, you're forgetting God's goodness in your life. So here's what I've discovered. The things that I complain about the most are the things that I probably need the most. Have you ever discovered that? The stresses, the problems, the trials, the conflicts are all things that help us grow. And those are the things that I need the most. The last thing that I want you to notice with me, the last discipline, is that I need to make a commitment daily to be an encourager. You and I live in an age where there's discouragement everywhere. Everyone wants to tell us the bad news. Everyone rushes in to tell us the bad news. The first thing when I get up in the morning and I turn on television and I'm watching Good Morning America, they start with the headlines, and almost all of them are bad news. Oh, by the way, here's something else that happened yesterday. And oh, by the way, and it goes on and on and on. So there are so many people around us that want to tell us the bad news. So in a world of people that are telling the bad news, you and I need to be people of good news. We have good news. The good news is that Jesus is alive. He's on his throne. He's coming back. That's the good news. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, this is really an amazing passage of Scripture. It's awesome. This is what I love about it. Let's just read it and let's talk about it. In verse 29, it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Stop there. Do I need to repeat that? Let me just say it one more time. Don't use foul or abusive language. And then he begins to unfold why. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So with your words, with your mouth, you are either tearing people down or lifting them up. You're either destroying them or giving life. You have the power to breathe life into people every single day, and it's up to you. It's your choice. You can do it. But one of the reasons that God tells us not to use foul and abusive language isn't just that he doesn't like to hear the words. It's because those words are destructive. They're words of demeanor. They're words of discouragement. When you think about how you use destructive language or foul language, it's never in a positive context, is it? I mean, I don't think of a time when I used to have a foul mouth years ago before I became a Christian. You know, the truth is that it was always used in contempt. It was always used with a dissatisfaction in my life of some way and somehow. So I'm just simply saying that you should use your lips, use your mouth to encourage people, to lift people up, to magnify the Lord in every way. And there is a virus that is far more dangerous than the coronavirus. Did you know that? There is a virus that's far more dangerous than the coronavirus. It's the virus of contagious complaining. And here's why it's far more dangerous, is that the coronavirus only affects the body. Complaining affects the soul. It reaches deep inside of someone's spirit when you and I use words that are discouraging and not encouraging. And so I'm going to tell you honestly, there needs to be a change in our vocabulary, a change in how we look at life. There's a great opportunity for believers to be creators of an antidote of our culture, for you and I to be those people that bring good news as opposed to bad news. And so what results when we stop complaining? Well, according to the Scripture here, we find ourselves in a place where, this is what the Bible says, we become like shining lights or bright stars in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So here's the bottom line. People notice when you don't join in. People notice when you are someone who doesn't join in to the complaining elements of life. They just notice. You and I can have an opportunity to speak good and not bad. So let me just ask you a question. And I think this is an important question. If I were to ask you today, if I were to say to you, hey, why don't you and I go rob a bank this afternoon? I'm running a little low on cash, and I really would appreciate a little money, and I need someone as a, you know, accomplice here. I need someone to help me rob the bank. And you know, I asked my wife this morning, Judy, if she would be, you know, drive the getaway car, and she said no. I don't know why, but she just said no. And so what would you say, what would your answer be? Honestly, what would your answer be If I ask you that question, let's go and rob a bank today? I think most of us listening to the podcast here today, or the live stream here today, would say, that's wrong. Robbing a bank is stealing. It's wrong. You and I have a belief system that says that taking money that doesn't belong to us is wrong. Israel forfeited the promised land and spent 40 years in the desert because they murmured and complained about God, about circumstance, about life, about how life used to be good in Egypt and now it wasn't so good out in the desert. They spent 40 years and they all died until a new generation rose up that appreciated God. So what I'm saying to you is this, as wrong as it is for you and I, as wrong as it is for you and I to go out and rob a bank this afternoon, is just as evil in the sight of God to have a complaining spirit. It's a sin. It's a contagious sin. It's a destructive sin. And our response should be, let's repent. Let's just turn our lives around. Let's stop it. Let's make a decision today, and let's just stop it. That should be our decision, and I hope you do. I hope you right now, while you're sitting, you're going, you know what, Pastor Dan, as I'm thinking about this, as I'm listening to what you're saying, as I'm thinking about the nature of my language, I think that I do need to have some repentance in my life. So if that's the case, what I want you to do is I want to give you a tool to use. So you were told, I think, through one of our social media avenues to have a rubber band next to you. So I want you to just put it on your wrist. I have one on my wrist, and it is something that I use that I'm going to start using. Actually, I haven't used it yet, but I put one on this week to use. And so here's what I want you to do. Every time you find yourself complaining about somebody or some circumstance, I want you to take your rubber band out, and I want you to pull it back. Don't let it break, but just snap yourself in the wrist every time you do it. And if you're uncomfortable with that, wait till after all this, you know, stuff is over, this social distancing is over, and I'll do it for you. I'd be happy to snap, you know, your rubber band on your wrist. I'd love to do that because I'm just a servant, and I love to serve people. So I would do that for you. But I'm going to tell you, if you're serious, you'll take whatever means are necessary if you're going to figure out how to walk with God. And you cannot be grateful and be a complainer at the same time. Doesn't work. You just have to understand that. And you cannot walk with God with words that come out of your mouth that are words of complaint, because those words aren't faith words. Those words aren't lifting people up, they're taking people down. So I hope and pray that for you, this is my prayer for you, is that we would all see this as the sin as the way God sees it, that God sees this in a way that is destructive in our lives. God knows what's best for us, and He knows that complaining is not the best for our lives. So I pray that you'll take that solution and you'll use it. You'll practice it. It's a discipline. I promise you, after you create a little pain in your life on your wrist, you'll begin to say, maybe it would be better if I just stopped complaining. Maybe that would be the right solution. And again, I want to say to you, and I want to end with this thought, and I don't mean to be a downer. I'm just simply saying, having the habitual sin of complaining is not just a habit. It's a sin, and you are forfeiting something that God has for you. You're forfeiting that. And so whatever that is, you've got to figure that out. You've got to figure that out, and you've got to create a new way of letting your lips praise God and worship Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You, Lord, for this day, and I pray that Your Spirit, Father, would just do His work in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we've had to be together, even though it's in a distant way, God. We have been together in spirit and mind, and we just are grateful for that, God. And I pray, God, that You would allow us to repent and move forward in our faith with You. And I pray these things in Jesus' holy and powerful and awesome name. Amen.